Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in the show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show! Everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. It's good to be back. Justin is here. How's it going, man?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a little too long, and we haven't done one of these first segments in a long time, so I actually have a lot to talk about in terms of just shit I've been watching, but it's doing a little catch-up. How's it been?
It's been an insane couple of months. My little side business is growing into a giant mess that is completely taking over my life.
Uh-huh.
But that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds like a good problem.
And also, I'm going to visit the sister in Seattle and tomorrow, so that should be a good time. And I will eat my body weight.
Yeah, right. Get a gorge on all that Seattle food. That's a pretty good food city, right?
That I think they might be second only to San Fran.
Really?
Yeah, they're that good artisanal, like artisan wise craftsmanship. The proximity to like local dairy farms and things like that, they do amazing things in that city.
I thought food-wise, like the, you know, in terms of like world's greatest food cities, I thought New Orleans was always like the number one.
Well, it's very specific because New Orleans has their specialties, and what they're good at is nowhere near what they're good at in Seattle.
Well, no, you're exactly right, because having been in New Orleans plenty of times, like you eat very specific cuisine there. You don't get anything else, but they're very specific.
Exactly. I mean, they're really, really good at that.
Yeah.
And you know, if you want that kind of food, you should only go there.
Right.
But Seattle's more about like artisanal cheeses. They're really, really good at like cured meats up there. Mm. They have just a really good like general gastropub scene.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Huh.
So yeah, I am going to unhinge my jaw like a snake and just push as much food in until I explode like a goldfish.
Excellent. Great. Okay. Cool. So it's been a long time since we've even done one of these first segments. And we're about a month into the spring season here, and I haven't watched as much as I wanted to, but I have watched plenty. And but before we get to that, I got to lead with this because, Evangelion 3.33 came out on Blu-ray, and I imported it because I'm not going to wait a year and a half to see it, because I'm just fucking not going to wait, right?
I got to get to this. I have not had a chance to watch it yet. It's killing me.
So I got the Blu-ray in, and it's funny because I was putting it out on Twitter like, hey, I'm going to watch Evangelion. Hey, tonight's the night. Gonna finally watch this fucking movie. And just nothing but hate. Nothing but hate this movie's been getting. I gotta tell you, I really liked it. I thought it was really, really great in the last hour. It's only an hour and a half long, which is short for these movies. But I think people don't like it because it's different, and the first act, and to be totally fair, the first act sucks. Like, the first act of that movie really sucks.
Like, in what way?
People are saying it feels fanfiction-y, and it totally does. It's got the longest stretched-out technobabble scene I think I've ever seen in an anime. It feels like it's 10 minutes long. Where it's literally just, the K-factor is dropping! Initiate the 4-switch! Whatever the fuck.
It's like listening to people play Space Team on their iPhones.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like that. But Evangelion always does that. Like, there's a few seconds of technobabble during a fight. But this was just stretched out as long as it could possibly go. And then there's a big... So, okay. I'm not going to spoil anything except a few tiny little plot points. So there's a 14-year time skip in this from the end of the last film. That's revealed very early on.
Wow, so this has nothing to do with the TV series anymore.
This is important. I'll get to it. It is an almost total departure from the TV series, but what now the film is taking most of its cues from End of Evangelion. Now, initially, I know we were talking about this, where we were saying, like, oh, these movies are a lot more upbeat. Everybody's a little bit more self-aware. Everybody's much more straightforward with their feelings. It feels like this is coming emotionally from a different place than the TV show or End of Evangelion. And that's still true. But that notion of positivity or self-actualization in this movie takes a huge hit in terms of, oh, they're not... This is not a more positive version of Evangelion at all. To wit, like, this has much more in common with End of Evangelion than the TV show does. And just to give you an idea where this movie's going, so without spoiling anything too much, a team of characters has decided Gendo's idea is the worst fucking idea in the world and will do anything to stop him. And Gendo is left with a pretty small crew in this film. You know how in End of Evangelion, like, basically Third Impact gets paused? Or it doesn't finish?
Yeah, it kind of aborts halfway.
Right. Well, the idea is that was a pause button, and Gendo wants to hit the play button. And these people are trying their hardest to stop him. As well, they probably should.
Well, it does mean that everyone dies. Right.
Yeah. But that's kind of the concept here. And this goes beyond... So, like, when you get into the real crazy, gross theatrics, which this movie has lots of them. So I was in heaven, like, because that's what I love about Evangelion. Well, it's one of the things I love about Evangelion. That's kind of the premise. It's like, hey, Third Impact didn't finish. Let's start it up again. And that's kind of where this is going, basically. Just to give you, like, a real vague idea of what the film is. Ends on a total cliffhanger. And the thing, like, talking to you about this, I kind of can't wait till you see it. And I think maybe once you actually do get around to watching it, maybe we'll just do a spoiler cast. Like, we'll just sit down and just run through it.
All right.
But
that can be next week.
You know how the in both the TV show and in End of Evangelion, Shinji finally having agency and making a decision is what drives the climax.
Right.
So that's true here, too. But this is only movie 3 of 4. Mm-hmm. And the choice he makes, well, I'll let people discover that for themselves. But suffice to say, if he doesn't have another moment like that later on in the fourth movie, I'm really curious to see where it's going to go.
Well, that's been one of the biggest differences between the reboots and the original is that Shinji kind of always had agency in the reboots.
This time specifically, so the climax of the second film, he's forced to do what he does by his dad.
Right. Yes.
This one, he's saying, no, I'm gonna do this. In spite of everyone telling him, don't fucking do it. Like, it's nuts. It's really cool, but it's fucking crazy. And there's yet more giant bloody explosions and intestines and shit flying everywhere. Like, you know, like you'd expect from the end. Like,
why did I have to work so much this last month?
Like it's all End of Evangelion-esque. And there's even more cool, like, Lilith imagery and stuff in it. And there's really neat shit that they did visually. And I was just... The last hour of that movie, I was kind of on the edge of my seat. I was really enjoying it.
So here's the million-dollar question for me anyway. When you watch End of Eva for the first time, or even subsequent times, you get that sinking feeling, lump in your throat, this is so fucked in the head.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
I did, but only because – not because I hadn't seen – because it's similar style. It's a similar style, so it's not anything you haven't necessarily seen before, but there's brand new, totally fucked up imagery. And I got to tell you, like, the thing that really keeps me on the edge of my seat is, what are they going to say about depression, personal agency, and human emotion? Because to me, those are the strongest things in Evangelion.
Right.
And this is as far as you can get from the end of the TV show. I want to know what they're going to say about all this stuff in the fourth film, because this is a total cliffhanger. It is a complete cliffhanger in terms of where they're going with all of that. The most interesting thing about that next movie, which is called Final Impact, by the way, Or at least that's what the preview said. What is Shinji gonna do? What is he possibly going to do? Will he even have any agency? Will he be able to make the final choice? Like, where is that gonna go? Because this movie comes as close as you can to a traditional climax of an Evangelion thing, but then keeps going. So it's, yeah, it's good shit, man. And the Koru stuff is great. Like, it's really, really good. There's some beautiful sequences in there, too. There's some really... They go back to the synchronization thing, except this time they're learning to play the piano together.
Instead of playing...
Instead of DDR or whatever that shit is. Like, this time it's Koru and Shinji learning to play the piano together, and that leads into consequences for other things, but it's gorgeous stuff. Like, thinking back on it, like, in the moment, during the first act especially, I was like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, this is not... This isn't working. What did you do to these movies? But then it slowly reveals itself that that all had a purpose. And to be totally frank, the story's not that different. It's just not. It's just that now there's a much more effective force trying to stop Gendo than there was before. And they're screwing around with a lot of these characters. Some of the characters' motivations are totally flipped on their heads. Yeah, it's... and there's some fuck you. There's some fuck you fanboy stuff in there, too.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good. I think you're going to dig it. I think maybe, because we had the discussion before where, like, you know, once you've personally climbed out of depression, or you're a little older, a little wiser, maybe, hopefully, the end of the TV show resonates with you a lot more.
Right.
This is not going there. At least it doesn't seem like it's going there. But I was pretty thrilled with it. And if people have the means to import it, do that. I mean, everybody's already just watching the bootleg anyway, so I don't, it's just whatever. But, I can't wait until this gets the widest possible audience and people can actually discuss it. And I do not know where the hate is coming from other than different so bad. That's it. That's the only thing I can think of.
Hmm. Well, I will, probably watch it before this goes live because this is bothering me that much.
Yeah, you got to see it, and I'm really dying to know. Well, like I said, once you've seen it, we'll do a spoiler cast, and we'll dig through it. And but again, this is definitely like an iterative chapter. It starts and then it doesn't end. It's a total cliffhanger, and they're just like, wait till next time, and it's just building, 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 building. So. Don't expect, like, a full-on, you know, narrative, I don't know, conclusion or something like that. But it's, in terms of what they're doing with the story, pretty fucking interesting. I really can't wait to see the conclusion.
Cool.
So, yeah, good stuff. Anyway, so it's spring.
Yes, it is.
Did you watch anything?
I am religiously following Flowers of Evil.
Yeah, I'm caught up on that. I just watched episode 4 the other day.
I just watched that this morning.
What are you thinking so far?
First of all, I love the art style.
Yep,
love it.
Me too.
I've always kind of had a thing for, like, slightly janky looking rotoscoping.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's actually like to the point where I can pick certain scenes in old anime that, like, they just rotoscope this one shot, and I love that shot, and that shot stuck with me.
Yeah.
So I love this on that level alone.
Yeah.
And the story is nice and creepy, and that whacked, absolutely whacked ending theme. Tried to sing that in the shower this morning. That didn't work.
How would that even work?
It doesn't. I'm pretty sure the neighbors would have been within their rights to call the police. I do, my only problem with it, and it is kind of starting to be a more significant problem, it is ungodly slow moving.
No shit. See, this is my problem with it.
I haven't read the manga, but according to what I've read, that it's like barely, I don't think it's even through the first volume yet.
The show?
Yeah.
You have to be right, because even like manga doesn't move this slow.
No, nothing moves this slow. And, you know, this is the sort of thing that, like, Japanese art house live action movies are notorious for.
Yeah.
Just, like, all these long pregnant pauses and the like. But the problem is, animation, and in this case rotoscoping, boils down the information that your eye gets from a live action shot to the point where there's just not as much for your brain to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they had even left this live action, the problem wouldn't be quite as severe. But because it's the boiled down simplified art, and because the pacing is just so dog slow, it's frustrating, but not frustrating enough for me to even think about putting it down.
Yeah, I don't typically follow shows while they're airing.
I don't either.
This one, I can't not watch it. I want to know what happens really badly. But I have to admit, like, only in episode 4 did I finally start getting back kind of into it. I thought episodes 2 and 3 were like, okay, more than one thing can happen in an episode, guys.
Yeah.
Like, you can do more than one thing. And,
it doesn't need to move that much faster, but still, 2 and 3, that could have been one episode.
It totally could have. And the fact, I feel validated because you like stuff that's way slower than what I like. And even this is too slow for you.
I have driven my parents from the room with some of my art house films.
Right. Yeah, but it's just, you want them to get on with the plot. Because once they establish that character, the girl, the crazy girl.
Right.
I can't remember her name, unfortunately. Once they establish her character, you're just sort of waiting for her to strike at this point and see what she's going to do next. And that's kind of, you know, episodes 2 and 3. And then in 4, it starts getting a lot more interesting, I thought, anyway. And I'm hoping the next one, maybe the pace picks up a little bit here. But if it's only 13 episodes or 12, and they're not even through the first volume yet,
Story-wise, it reminds me a lot of... Did you ever see All About Lily Shushu?
Yeah. I watched it for one of our swap streams, I think.
It reminds me a lot of that in tone, where it's just like, this is how fucked up and selfish and insane middle school kids are.
Yeah.
Don't you just want to kill yourself?
Yeah. I don't know. That scene where she forces him to wear the outfit... It's like, fucking A, dude. Like, who is this chick? Like, what's going on? And, you know, like, people have been trying to, like, spoil me on the manga and stuff, and I haven't really been looking into it, but I guess it gets pretty fucking crazy. Like, that's... I don't want it... I don't know. I don't have any expectations for this story. I just want to see where it goes.
Yeah, me neither. We're so far off the path of preconceived notions...
Yeah.
...that, like... We would just be guessing at what might happen next.
Yeah. And I don't, like, at this point, I kind of don't even... I'll wait and see where the show goes, and I doubt it's going to make it. The fucking backlash against this thing. The completely stupid-ass, unfair, totally awful, closed-minded backlash against the show means there probably will not be a second season, so I'll pick up the manga afterward, I guess. But... we'll see. That backlash is so disappointing.
It's not unexpected because, I mean, so much of what anime is used for by people is escapism.
Yeah, and this is not escapism.
This is like the anti-escapism. Yeah. This is, here's the world as it is, now let's just crank up the ugly.
Well, I gotta say, but that rotoscoping technique is so fucking effective with the crazy girl.
Oh, yeah.
Like, her facial expressions are so creepy and off-putting. Like, every time they close in and she's sort of hunching over and smiling, you're like, oh, God, like, what are you going to do?
Like, oh, my God, yeah, that smile of hers. By the way, do you follow Vertical on Tumblr?
No.
If you're a fan of this show, you really should, because they've been posting some amazing everything from, like, random fan art, which is kind of interesting because there have been some fan art that makes – her, like, outright cute, but mm-hmm. still looks like her.
Right.
But more interesting, this morning they just posted shots of the actual cast before rotoscoping.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm there. I'll go check that out.
Really interesting.
I've been very curious about that.
Yeah, and what's interesting, just from a purely technical standpoint, is that they draw outlines, like, all over the pockets of their shirts and things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can rotoscope that shape later, but for the most part, everything just looks exactly like you think it would. And then they have the cute cast shot of all the kids posing together, and everyone looks happy and well-adjusted. And that pretty much is the biggest mindfuck of all.
Well, it's funny. They've hinted that his crush, Sayaki, I think her name is,
yeah,
isn't all there either. I feel like these two female leads are where most of the interest in that show is going to come from. And I don't think they're just positioning, at least I'm kind of hoping this is where it goes. I don't think they're just positioning the crazy girl as the crazy girl. I'm pretty sure they're going to take that other character to some pretty dark places too.
Oh, I hope you're right. The, one interesting note, is it took me a while because they really, really remixed it and it sounds amusingly awful, but it took me a while to realize that that's each cast member singing the opening theme.
Oh, really?
And, you know, the first three episodes, that was the boy. And, you know, he's actually a decent singer. And starting with episode four, I think, now, someone in the forums, please correct me if I'm wrong here, because I haven't looked this up. But I'm pretty sure it's Crazy Girl singing the opening on episode four.
Hmm.
And it's exactly what you would expect Crazy Girl to sound like singing the opening theme.
Right, yeah. Interesting. I'm sure we'll get corrected in the forums. But yeah, that's cool. No, I'm digging it, man. It's really exciting that show's on. I look forward to Mondays. It's fun times. I'm really enjoying the shit out of that. But anything else?
I have just a couple live action films. We can get into that later if we want to stay with anime now.
Sure, yeah. So that's the only anime from spring you watched?
Yeah. I've just between that and the column, that's all I got time for.
Right. Yeah. People should make sure they check that out on every other Tuesday.
Thank you.
So the only other thing besides stuff that I watched for and actually previewed, I did watch Attack on Titan, which is cheap looking, and I read the manga, so I guess I don't give a shit. I thought I was looking forward to that, but no.
That's disappointing.
It's also one of these, I can't remember, you did the spotlight for it, didn't you?
Yes.
Who's the animation studio on that?
Oh wait, no, we didn't have Attack on Titan, we had the new Tobe Bukawa show. Not Tobe Bukawa. Jesus, yeah. I'm a space cadet today, sorry.
Hey, long week. Yes. No, Gargantua. Yeah, I don't know who the animation studio is off the top of my head, but it's one of those shows where in profile, everyone's off model. So the chins all look really weird. Everyone's kind of weirdly, like, skinny. Like, their heads look thick front on, and then profile, everyone's head is squashed. Like, it's that kind of inconsistency in character modeling. And
what, they farm this out to China or something?
Well, they're cutting corners like crazy. I'm not gonna watch it. I read the manga. I don't care. Other than that, I did watch Gargantua. I didn't think it was bad. That's gonna be one of those where I'll wait till the end, and you know, if it's good, people will let me know, and if it's not, no skin off my nose. But yeah, everything else was kind of, I already covered in the preview guide. So I did check out some disc releases. I got a shipment from Sentai Filmworks, which included, I guess I'll start with this, just minutes ago, I was flipping through the K-On! Movie. Don't ask me why. But I wanted to check it out because that was a huge sensation in Japan. Well, they sure do go to London.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty much it. Nice animation, I guess. How do people sit through that stuff? Nothing happens. They get lost. They go to the wrong hotel. They sing a song in a sushi bar. Basically, that's it.
Some people just want to be friends with them, I guess.
Yes, friends.
You know, I guess I'm wondering if maybe the reason people like that sort of thing is the same reason people like watching vlogs.
Maybe? I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, it's pretty obvious they watch it for the cute girls, and cute girls doing things is a genre, so, you know, that's about it. It's also, like, super swimming in, like, nostalgia-y feelings for a simpler time, so...
there we go.
Yeah, there's that, and everyone loves that, right? But I just wanted to see what the fuss was, and it's very well animated, cute little moe blob girls doing nothing in London. So yeah, checked that out. Still has the Bang Zoom dub. Super jarring when they suddenly start singing and it's in Japanese because they didn't dub the songs.
Right.
Although
probably for the best in you know,
sure,
macro view.
I guess it's just still like I know why they do it, but it's still kind of weird.
Yeah.
See, like, it's jarring in a film. It just is. It, you know, however much I can be taken out of a movie that I am not invested in or interested in at all, somehow I'm taken out of it even more. I don't know. I skipped through it. I didn't actually watch the whole thing, but I just wanted to take a look at it. And I see, you know, the appeal is obvious to its intended audience, but I don't know. I'm surprised there's even a Japanese language track available on that disc, given the reverse importing thing with K-On that's been happening.
Right.
But anyway, so I flipped through it, whatever, that K-On! Movie sure does exist.
Mm-hmm.
And then I popped in Kids on the Slope.
Oh, no.
So, I don't know what's up over at Sentai, but this disc has some problems. Most notably, the 11th episode has the Japanese track on the left channel only, and this has been documented pretty well. And it is incredibly distracting, because unless you have a mono TV, you're going to notice.
A mono TV that you have a Blu-ray player hooked up to.
Yeah, for whatever reason you have a Blu-ray player hooked up to it. And the dub sucks.
How bad is it?
Well, the lead character's name is Kaoru.
Mm-hmm.
The female character pronounces it as Coruscant.
What?
Yep. Coruscant, like the Star Wars planet. That is.
I was going to guess the mother from Downton Abbey, but
yeah. Hey, there you go. Right? No, she says Coruscant, and you're like, like. But that's not the worst voice. The worst voice is the striped shirt dude, whose name I can't remember. But he sounds awful, and the acting's all really really stiff,
mm-hmm.
and the delivery's all kind of bad. And it's a shitty dub. Sorry, guys. It sucks. It's not like, you know, it's not all larded up with, like, internet jokes or whatever, you know. But it's not a good dub. And so if you don't want to watch that show dubbed, which I frankly, like, if you know, if I'm being honest, I wouldn't watch dubbed anyway because it's a show about Japanese teenagers in Japan in the 60s.
Right.
So watch it in Japanese.
Well, I watched this on Crunchyroll, and I really liked it, but it was also one that I couldn't really think about dubbing because the way the music is integrated.
Right, and they didn't dub the songs, which is kind of weird because they're all English songs.
Right.
So it's the English version.
Sentaro, that's his name.
Yeah. It's so you just get the Japanese version of the songs, which is weird and jarring. Anyway, not a good dub. But if you watch the Japanese version, that one episode has totally fucked up audio. So I don't know what's up over there, man. What's with their QC?
You know, it's not like this is a surprise. Apparently, this is like the third disc this has happened to.
So, what if you're the expert on this stuff? What do you think is going on?
I don't fucking know. I honestly don't. Look, I mean, we've all made mistakes making Blu-rays. I mean, I actually just had an incident a month ago where I accidentally. After all the checking was done, I accidentally slipped in the wrong episode's video on a disc, and it went out to the replicator like that, and I had to pay to, you know, destroy the Glassmaster and start over, and that was really expensive. But, you know, you don't ship the product like that. You stop it.
Right.
and that's why we have checking at every stage of the process. So for the same issue to happen over and over again. And it's not like this is the only issue they've been having. They've been missing whole lines of dialogue when they've been dubbing. Yeah. You guys mentioned that you had that whole show to talk about Mawaru Penguin Drum. I got my discs and I was appalled by how bad those looked, especially towards the end.
Yeah, it did seem to fall apart there, didn't it?
Holy crap. And you know what? A lot of it is, you know, they're getting interlaced masters from Japan and then they're not doing anything to, you know, inverse that back into 24p. And, you know, I'm sorry, if fan subbers can do that, you can do that.
Right.
First of all. Second of all, even if you Yes, interlaced video is much harder to encode, but anime is also incredibly easy to encode.
Right.
It is so much easier to encode anime video than it is live action. You can cut so many more corners and still have a good-looking product. So to ship product that looks like that, I don't know what they're doing. I don't even know how you can make video that looks that bad and use the bit rates and everything they're doing. I'm kind of melting down here because they're releasing so many discs that I want. They have Pat Labor coming out. I still have to pick up Colorful. I'm head in hands. I don't know what to do.
Do you think that, you know, and I want to point out, this is speculation on our part, and we try not to engage in that here, but it's hard not to because we've seen this happen before where a whole bunch of really fucked up releases come out from one place. Do you think it's giant volume plus bare bones skeleton crew equals lots of mistakes?
That is the only thing I can think of because this team has done good work.
I mean, Occam's Razor, right? I mean, that's the most...
Yeah. I mean, this Sentai, you know, they've never been spectacular, but they've usually been doing pretty solid product up until like about 9 months ago.
Yeah, better than this. Yeah.
Better than this. And, you know, at that point, that's when their volume really started ramping up. And I got to wonder if they're just like everyone is working 12 to 15 hour days and about to pass out at their keyboards.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Funimation had a time like this, too. I mean,
Not quite like this.
These are pretty bad mistakes. And not only that, generally Funimation showed interest in fixing the problems. But Sentai is basically saying, nope.
No, apparently, there have been replies to people, reportedly. I haven't seen, you know, absolute proof of this, but apparently they have been replying to people and going, yeah, I hope this doesn't ruin it for you. We're not going to redo it.
Well, there's no money in it, I would assume. Like, you know, the shows that people like you and I care about, I assume, are really low sellers for them. Like, Kids on the Slope, really? I mean, how many people are even going to buy that?
Enough that they apparently put it out on Blu-ray and dubbed it.
They're doing that with kind of everything now, though. Anything they can get the Blu-ray rights to, it seems like they're just dumping it out. I don't know.
We don't know.
It's irresponsible to speculate, but I think the most obvious answer is skeleton crew plus giant volume. Like, I think that's the only real answer here.
Well, this is starting, like, this is to the point where I can't imagine that it's not starting to impact sales. Because the people that are still buying and pre-ordering all the discs are the people like us, the super nerds, who are, you know, really following this stuff. And, you know, not for nothing, I am very hesitant to pre-order any Sentai disc now because I'm terrified it's going to look like fucking Penguin Drum.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think Penguin Drum looked that bad, but my eyes are not trained quite like yours are. I don't think it looked great, but I could tell it was not up to snuff, but it wasn't bad enough to where it's like I couldn't get through it or anything.
Do this. Watch the clean ending on the last disc.
Yeah.
Or the clean opening and ending, and just pause it a few times and just marvel at how bad that looks.
Wow, okay.
How it doesn't even resemble what you could clearly see what the original frames of animation were.
It's that bad, wow.
It's okay. That bad.
Holy shit. Okay, well, I guess I'll take another look, but yeah, man. You know, Sentai, we're sure you're overworked, but could you please get your shit together?
It's not like we have a choice unless we want to import stuff, and that doesn't have English.
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, that's what I've been watching, which is a surprising amount. I have actually not been to the movies lately.
Well, there hasn't been that much out.
Virtually nothing.
I did go see a very good film, Chilean film, that was up for the Best Foreign Picture Oscar last year called No.
I heard of this, so that was good.
It was very good. It's especially if you kind of like, if you're the sort of guy that when you watch Mad Men, you kind of dig in a little bit as to where they're dealing with the psychology of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
This takes place in Chile in, I think, 1986. And the backstory goes is dictator Augusto Pinochet was pressured by the international community to have a referendum vote, a whole popular vote on whether his dictatorship should continue. And obviously this is big news, but everyone's just so beaten down and downtrodden. No one really believes that it's on the up and up, and no one, you know, everyone's just like, eh, well, this is just some same old shit.
Mm-hmm.
But the campaign to overturn him gets 15 minutes every night on, you know, dictator-controlled television to tell people the, you know, what they should vote no. So this is about the campaign for no and how they actually take Madison Avenue-style ad techniques and to try to use it not to make an argument per se, but to make an argument in a way that makes people hopeful.
Hmm.
Which is just fascinating stuff. And the story around it's really interesting, too. The only weirdness, and this is why I don't necessarily recommend seeing it in the theater, they shot the entire thing with 1980s-style tube analog television cameras.
Huh. I'll get it on iTunes or something.
It is very blurry, and in some cases the prism is off, and so you can see the colors, like, not being in alignment.
Wow. Yikes. Okay, that sounds really fascinating.
It is on many, many levels, but, it's a really interesting film, and, I think it's... I don't know. I always get fascinated watching television from foreign countries from the past, because now it all kind of looks the same. But in the 80s, television looked really weird in different countries. So, I don't know. That media nerd part of me, that's just, you know.
Right.
It was a whole lot of Justin Sweet buttons right there.
Excellent. Yeah, I don't know. We're heading into summer here. I'm really looking forward to The Great Gatsby, even though I think it might be a train wreck. But we'll see.
What's giving you that vibe?
Leonardo DiCaprio's accent in the trailers.
That is a fair statement.
It's pretty bad, but I'm super excited. I'm glad that became a summer movie, because otherwise it's just like, I mean, I'm going to see Iron Man, but I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Otherwise it's just kind of Star Trek and that's it. So Gatsby gives me something at least, you know, it's more in my wheelhouse in terms of like things I get excited about. So, and I think I'm actually going to see it in 3D, because I want to see what Baz Luhrmann can do with the 3D. Yeah. But,
yeah. I'm looking forward to, obviously, new Star Trek.
Yeah.
Looking forward to Elysium.
Oh, yeah, of course. Right. Yeah. But that's like...
How could you not?
Right. That's late summer, I think.
Is it?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, but it is coming out in summer. Yeah. Summer isn't my season for movies. That's for people who enjoy themselves.
All right, man. Okay, well, I think that about wraps us up for this first segment here. Thanks for stopping on by. Good luck in your travels, man.
Thank you much. I'll see you in less than a week anyway.
Yeah, all right. Okay, we're back. My guest this week, returning champion, always happy to have him back on the show. From Japan, it's Yomiuri TV Enterprise, International Strategy Group Chief, and Anime Souls representative, Sam Pinansky. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing, Zach?
I am pretty good.
Can't believe it's been actually more than a year since it seems like it's been much shorter than that since we last talked, but actually been more than a year. And actually, it's International Media Strategy Group. You got that slightly wrong, so.
Well, I'm reading the email that you sent me directly, and it doesn't say that, so.
whatever.
Anyway. So, last time you were on... I'm pretty sure actually last time you were on, you were still working at Tezuka Pro. And things have obviously changed. And the last time you were on, you announced kind of an exciting project. But as you said, it has been more than a year. Let's just start from the beginning. What are you working on?
So basically, back when I was on the last time, I was just about to change from moving from Tezuka Productions to actually working for part of the Yomiuri Television Group, a company called ADEC. And then 3 months afterwards, in October, I moved from ADEC to where I am now at Yomiuri TV Enterprise, which is like the licensing wing of Yomiuri Television. For example, they're the people who license Beelzebub and other shows that were Yomiuri properties. And so actually what I'm doing now at Yomiuri Enterprise is really not very different from what I was doing back at Tezuka. I'm still handling localization and subtitling, and now even sometimes some dubbing for not just Yomiuri properties, but actually, you know, the still everyone here in Japan's Japanese anime and some drama and basically doing subtitling and localization in general. And it's basically me and the same group of freelance people and a couple new additions. And that's basically my primary job. And then, of course, the project which I'm here to talk about today, Anime Souls, which I initially announced just basically the beginning of the project a year ago. And then we put out a press release back in November when everything was pretty much decided. And we're almost about to launch. We're actually in closed beta right now. So everybody sort of keep your eyes and ears open for when the official launch will be announced. But we're basically, it's done. Everything's signed. We just need to wait for final approval from everybody in the committee and say, okay, go, and then we'll go. And that's basically all that's left. So today, actually, I'm going to have a couple announcements and hopefully really go over exactly how the site works and how this whole crowdfunding thing is actually going to work to get classic anime to the fans here in U.S. and Canada, and it'll be really cool.
Right. So last time you were on, you basically described this, and I maybe now, given how things have changed so much just in the last year, you sort of described it as Kickstarter for anime. And given the changing face of Kickstarter, let's get a description, I guess, of what exactly Anime Souls is.
Sure. Well, that description actually still holds pretty well. The idea I had actually came before Kickstarter even got big, and it was basically that fans, if they really want, copies, DVD copies, or really want to show licensed officially, they should be able to basically have a say in the matter and put their money down. And then when enough of them essentially pledge for a particular show that they want, that money will be paid, and then the Japanese anime companies will actually officially license and put it out directly to these fans. So it's very much like the idea of Kickstarter, where you collect pledges and support of money, but you don't actually collect the money until enough people cross essentially a threshold, a money goal, and then when that's met, the actual money is taken, and that money is used to actually produce the DVDs, et cetera, and get all the licensing signed and everything. So that actually is how Anime Souls works. So Anime Souls is a anime streaming website, and there's no membership fees. It's all free, and the streaming is available to anybody in the U.S. and Canada. And when you can't just watch the show, you can actually watch the show and then pledge support like Kickstarter. So every show will be split up into DVD sets, and for each DVD set of episodes, 13 per set or so, you can actually pledge money towards that DVD set. And if the goal is met, then that DVD set will be created by us at Anime Souls and sent to you. And that's basically how it works. And there's a whole bunch of different support packages. There's everything from just, some $5 to, hundreds of dollars, where you can get some really cool, unique, special items, things that you only really could get directly from the Japanese animation companies that produced these series back in 1970 and 1980. Mm-hmm. And it basically allows the fans to be able to pledge whatever they want. If you just want the DVD or the DVD box set, you can pledge $40 for a DVD box set. Or you want that super ultra special figure, limited edition figure that we found in the closet in a warehouse. Then you can be one of the two or three people that can get that for $1,000 or $2,000 or some kind of really super special limited package that we actually are going to be offering. So it's really cool. And it's basically exactly like Kickstarter in that it's really up to the fans. It's up to the fans of these shows to really put down the money and get these physical projects finally made and out to the people.
So, okay. So it's like a traditional Kickstarter in that once the goal is met, the DVDs get produced. And okay, so say like you pledge at that level where you get, hey, we found an old doga, in someone's closet. You can get this if you pledge $500. If the goal isn't met, does all of that stuff just doesn't get fulfilled? Or how does it work when the goal doesn't meet? Do these things have deadlines at all, or is it just open? Like, whenever it raises this much money is when we'll do all this stuff.
There are deadlines. So we can't just have these things streaming indefinitely, right? Because, we'll just lose money on it. It also, there's a matter of, there is cost to streaming these animes. We do have to pay for the streaming rights as well internally to the original authors and original creators. That's not a completely free. And so basically, we're looking at goals that where each DVD set will have a goal of somewhere between 2 and 3 months.
Okay.
So it's a fairly long time. We're not going to be putting these things up and saying we need to raise this money immediately. Basically, the idea is that as the episodes are being added, so we'll add an episode a week or so per show. And as the episodes are added, then the goal will be open. And then when the episodes are all up and everybody has had a chance to watch the thing online, see what it's like, whether they like it or not, then there'll be a little bit more time and the goal is finally open, and then that'll be the deadline. And if a DVD set doesn't have its goal met, then nobody pays anything, just like Kickstarter. We only pay when the goal is met.
Right.
And eventually the show will probably disappear from the site, and we'll put on the next show. We'll try a different show. So it's not that it's not the end of the world if something doesn't get met. It's just maybe that show didn't have the fans, it didn't have the support, and so we'll help try another one. Actually, that's one of the reasons why we're doing this. It's so that failure isn't deadly to the site. basically the loss that will incur is for the translation and the subtitling actually of the shows. And when we do that, well, basically, that subtitles and that data will go back to the original Japanese, rights holder. So if we're subtitling the show for one of our partners, Piero, and it doesn't meet its goal, for example, they'll still own the rights to those subtitles, and they can use them to try and license the show in a normal way, mm-hmm. or maybe do something else with them, like put them on a Japanese Blu-rays or something like that.
Yeah, I was about to say, they can do something else with it, but they're going to say, like, hey, this failed to get even this. You want to buy it? Like, I think you'd have a harder sell. I think if something fails on Anime Souls, that kind of makes it a harder sell in general, right? I mean, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't. Yeah, it's not exactly a plus for the right. for the licensing show. But you never know. You'd be surprised sometimes. There are new markets, actually. Maybe in America, that's definitely true. But what about Nigeria?
Sure, of course.
Actually, one of the things I don't want to go back into my don't want to talk too much about the rest of my work, but at Yomiuri Enterprise, we're actually really starting to look into really emerging markets like the Middle East mm-hmm. and Africa and places like that, which are really starting to actually look into buying content or making remakes of content from Japan, not just America, but all around the world. So there's actually really interesting opportunities for some of these classic properties, not in the U.S. necessarily or Europe necessarily, but actually in completely different countries. But that putting that aside, Anime Souls is about U.S. and Canada. So
okay, so that was my other question. So this stuff, when mm-hmm. it's streaming on Anime Souls, only U.S. and Canada.
Right, and there's just simple practicality behind that. Most of these shows, especially classic anime shows, they actually have been on TV or had previous licensing deals in the UK, in Europe in many cases, sometimes in South America, and various places around the world, especially in Asia. And these licensing contracts that do exist will make it extremely difficult to do a worldwide anything with any classic anime title. It doesn't even matter which one you're talking about. The only way you can do truly worldwide streaming is when you have a brand new show and you start from the very beginning and say, okay, we want to reserve the worldwide streaming rights, for example. But these shows have already been out there and already had contracts signed and various things. And so it's if we were to do more than just U.S. and Canada, we would basically have to have, you can see some shows but not some other shows depending on which country you live in. And then it gets very complicated where the users of the site will only be able to see some fraction of the content. And it doesn't breed community to the site with some people can see some shows and some people can't see some shows because of where they're living. So the way Anime Souls works, though, you can't actually stream or purchase support packages if you're not viewing from the U.S. or Canada, mm-hmm. but you can actually view the site itself, and you can actually read the comments and look and see the goals and see how they're doing. And I actually, if you don't live in the U.S. and Canada, but you want to support a show because maybe you want to import the DVD after it's created, for example. I highly suggest contacting a friend or acquaintance in America and getting them to pledge for you. There's no reason why you can't do something like that. And then that's one way that you, even if you're not living in the U.S., can help support the show. But unfortunately, for legal and usual reasons, we have to restrict it to U.S. and Canada. And if we were to do a global site, that would be for new things, and that would be a different – that wouldn't be Anime Souls. That would be a different business model.
Right. Understood. So here's a question. So say like you put up, Aura Battler Dunbine, And enough people pledged to get Aura Battler Dunbine because, you know, they just couldn't find that volume 13 and they want a new release of it. And it meets its goal. Once it meets its goal, do you only produce enough DVDs to fulfill that specific demand? Or can someone then say, oh, this met its fundraising goal, I'm going to go buy these DVDs from Anime Souls?
Okay, that's a great question. And the goal is, should be enough money to produce 1,000 sets, is actually the print runs that we're looking at right now.
Okay.
So, of course, the pledge values are different. So, for example, you pledge $40, you just get the DVD set. You pledge $250, and you get the DVD set with a special message, your name in the DVD, and things like very, you know, extra special things like that.
Right.
So we can't actually predict how many actual DVD sets we have to produce if we meet the goal. So it varies depending on how many, you know, people pledge at the lower level versus pledge at the higher level. But in general, we're always going to produce 1,000 DVDs because that's the normal minimal print run for a DVD pressing. And therefore, yeah, we will have some left over, and we do plan to sell those through normal online retailer outlets. But whether we'll do a reprinting or not, if the whole thousand sell out, and whether we'll do a reprinting or not is really an open question. If there's significant demand, it's not impossible, definitely. But it is fairly difficult because the way, unlike a licensing company, which has licensed the show and owns the rights to the show, you know, for a certain time period, we actually aren't licensing the show. The partners of Anime Souls are the owners of the show. So they have to pay the writer and the director and everybody who actually made the show. And those people are paid royalties based off how many DVDs are created, not how many are sold.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the way it works in Japan. Royalties are calculated in Japan based off the number of products which are created.
Man.
So, that's one of the reasons why print runs of everything in Japan are so minimal. It's because every time you print 1,000, you have to pay those royalties immediately, whether or not they sell them. So if we were to print another 1,000 DVDs, we'd have to pay those royalties for a full second print run. And if we don't only sell, you know, 100 of those, then we'll lose money on it. So, and even beyond the cost of the actual printing of the DVDs, there's a lot of royalties cost on that. So it will be a calculation, but I wouldn't say it's impossible. It depends on the demand. It would be great, of course, if we could have consistent long-term demand for these sorts of shows and keep these DVDs in print as long as possible. Of course, I should keep in mind, the only way to get these special, you know, extras is by pledging for the DVDs initially in the beginning on Anime Souls. After that, basically, all you're going to get is the DVD box set, and that's it. So if you're interested in, you know, getting the collector's items and the limited stuff for pledging, like, for example, you know, even if you just pledge at the second level, you can get your name in the DVD as a special sponsor. And if you want that, then you have to pledge initially in Anime Souls.
Okay. Very interesting. So what's it been like tracking down these shows? You basically have these partners, and you're just digging through their catalog?
Yeah. So first of all, the basic – let me give you a basic timeline of how Anime Souls was formed, shall I say. The initial idea has happened more than two years ago at this point when I presented this to the person who now is my boss at Yomiuri Enterprise. And basically, we set out to gather together partners from the actual content creators. So people like Piero and Tezuka and Tatsunoko are partners. And also, you know, everybody else, Toy and Toms and basically the whole group of animation creation companies that have classic big back catalogs. And we pitched the idea to them. And we said, hey, you know, you guys have all these shows, and we know they're not licensed anywhere in the U.S. and Canada, and you're never going to license these in the U.S. and Canada for normal reasons. Actually, recently some of these classic titles have gotten licensed by places like Discotech, which is quite interesting. But we went around and pitched this idea to various companies, and some of them were really interested, of course. And they said, well, this is a new idea, but can you do it? Their worry was, can you really do it? These companies have never attempted to do anything this direct with international fans, with international customers. It's scary to them. It really is. I mean, everybody sort of wants to do that, but they don't know how, and they don't understand how the markets work. Just the basic things about, well, how do we actually get the DVDs to the people? you know, things like that. And so we had to go through and explain to everyone, okay, how does this work? And then once we did that, then it became a question of, okay, so what content do you have that you can bring with you as a partner? And then that becomes, like you said, we have to dig through your catalog and you have to go through and say, okay, this show, who owns the IP for this show? And is it some company that we can go to and approach and talk with and say, okay, we'd like to try and sell it this way. Is this okay? And how much will we have to pay you? So, yeah, there are definitely lots of content, for example, that Piero might have animated, but they have absolutely no control over the IP. You know, we're not gonna do Anime Souls for anything Piero has animated recently because they've just been doing work for hire. And so there really was sort of a wheedling down process. One of the reasons, for example, we announced Creamy Mommy, which is one of Piero's classic magical girl shows, is because they fully own Creamy Mommy. It's their original show that they created, and Piero owns all the rights to it. So all they have to do in terms of approval is get the approval from the original directors and creators and people, the actual creators themselves, who by contract of the original contract of the show get some percent of any revenue, and that's usually just an okay sign on the dotted line. So that's how we can get those sorts of shows. But then there are other shows where the approval gets much more complicated, especially with Tezuka Productions, where you have Tezuka Productions and Mushi Pro, the other company that Tezuka originally worked at, for originally created Tezuka's earlier animes. And so there's various approvals that have to go on between the two. So yes, that took quite a while. And then actually, after we had a basic title list, the longest I wouldn't call it a delay, but the longest time, which took almost 6 months, was actually getting the partners to get approval to create the company itself, which was the most difficult thing. Right. Because we were creating not a normal Gumi-ai, which is like a production committee, yeah, is just a partnership. Like, it's not an official corporation. And that doesn't require anything more than just a normal contract. But Anime Souls is a limited liability partnership, a Yugen Gumi-ai, I guess, in the Japanese term. And that is actually a official corporation function. We have to register the government and do all the paperwork. And that requires a lot of paperwork. Mm-hmm. And that actually is what took the longest time and to get the approval from the parent companies of some of the partners. So once that was all finally finished around, you know, December, we were actually fully registered and could really start working on the site. And that's why after a couple months later, we're basically ready to launch.
This must have been all very stressful for you.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, we need this contract. We need this particular form to turn into the government, but it has to be, you know, stamped by the president of the actual company, the parent company. But the only next time that the president stamps anything is at the next full committee, at the next full board member meeting. And that isn't scheduled until after August because everybody's on vacation, of course. Right. Anyway, that thing goes again and again and again, and it's another month and it's another month. And it's really not so much stressful. It's just the timing gets so confusing. But there was a really, this is sort of something that maybe the people, the users will never really see. But if you want some inside baseball, which is really interesting in my opinion, the best thing about this project is not the classic anime or the Kickstarter or anything actually having to do with selling anime to fans. The best thing about this project is the fact that it's a limited liability partnership and that every month or every other week, we all get together for a meeting. And this is a meeting between very important people, let's put it this way, very important people at Piero and Tezuka and Tatsunoko and Yomiuri Television. People that would never meet and cooperate in a normal setting. They're competitors. If, you know, most of the anime companies are officially competitors, but this project is getting them to work together towards a common goal. Uh-huh. And, you know, sometimes after the meetings, we'll go out for drinks and, you know, we're all friends now. This is a strange thing. It sounds sappy, right? It's like, did I want to come to Japan to save anime, or did I want to come to Japan and have everybody make friends? but that's maybe that's the first step, and it's really sort of interesting, and it's really heartwarming to me to see everybody working together and trying their best to get some project like this off the ground. And I'm really happy that that's the way it's turned out, and hopefully, with everything's a success, we'll keep being friends in the future.
So you're focusing largely on stuff from the 70s and the 80s. Do you get into the 90s at all, or is it really sort of limited to stuff that's 20, 30 years old?
Well, no, we definitely could do well. One of the titles we already announced was actually 2008, so it wasn't even the '90s. Okay. But the remake of Yatterman, which is Yomiuri, one of Yomiuri properties. Of course, that's sort of cheating because it's a remake of a classic show. But sure. As for actual time period, you know, the name of the site isn't Anime Classic; it's Anime Souls. So any show that you know could. That I feel could get the group of fans to come and support it that wouldn't be able to be licensed in the normal way, I would say that's something we could put on our site. So there's no real limit to what you might see in Anime Souls in the future.
Wow. But, I mean, it does sound like the bulk of your content right now is from 70s and 80s.
Right, yes. I mean, it's a classic. It's designed for classic anime and anime anime from the 70s, 80s, and maybe early 90s. We'll see. Anything can be classic, right? The motto for the site is it's the future of anime's past. So, you know, we want to sort of take the classic anime from the past and put it into this new future business model and hopefully make it a success.
So moving forward from there, what is the average amount that a show generally needs to raise in order to get where it needs to go to have DVDs produced?
So this is a great question, and we just did the final calculation just last week. So it varies depending on the show. That's first off, I have to say. Yeah. Every show is going to be a little different because there's different companies involved and there's different amounts we have to pay. And some people, you know, some shows have music rights that are costing more than other shows, etc. But generally, for a DVD box set of 13 episodes, we'll need to raise somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000.
Okay. And wait, for 13 episodes. But most of this, I mean, they, you know, 13 episodes wasn't the average number for a TV series until the...
Right.
2000s. So, I mean, I would imagine the bulk of the stuff you're putting up is much more than that.
Right. But the goals will be per box set.
So it stacks.
So basically, we'll put up, you know, there'll be a goal for the set one of Creamy Mommy, episodes 1 through 13. And then when that succeeds, we'll move on to set two. With episodes 14 through 26, et cetera, et cetera. So basically for each of those box sets, actually the second set and third set's goals might be a little lower because there's some upfront costs for the whole series. But generally the goals are going to be somewhere in, I would say, no more than $25,000 a set for anything that we're working on at the moment, and probably nothing less than $15,000. There's some final calculations we're doing actually based on how much money we'll have to it'll cost to produce some of the extras for the DVDs that we're still working on to get the final number, but it'll be in that range. And just to break it down, that say $15,000, the bulk of that. Something like the bulk of that, actually, then about 70% or so, a little more than that, goes directly to the whoever owns that show. So Piero or Tezuka or whichever the content producer is. Mm-hmm. And the other percent of it goes to the running of the site and the committee itself, which, of course, the owner of the show is also a member of the committee. So in the end, basically, there's 30% which is shared among everybody, and then the other 70% goes back to the owner, and that 70% is split off through for the royalties and the payments of the original creators, which is actually when you consider a normal licensing to a you know a company like Funimation or so, you know normal licensing royalty rates for DVDs are more like 20% going to the Japanese side, and the 80% stays in America, you know, or 30%, you know, 30-70. That's the more normal for royalty rates on the other direction. So if you want to compare how much of the money goes to the original creators using our site versus, you know, normal licensing, it's almost opposite. It's completely reversed, and it's a lot more that goes directly to the content creators.
So if it's $20,000 for to produce a 13-episode box set, not to produce a 13-episode box set, but that's where you have to get if you want that made, did you have any fun going through and saying, like, hey, what would it cost us to get through all of Sazae-san? Like, you know, it gets into the millions at some point with some of those old-ass, really long-running shows, I would imagine.
Sazae-san would actually be infinite because of various reasons, but it's not allowed to be sold outside Japan. But the thing about that is, even if it is a really long show, with hundreds of episodes. Actually, Yatterman, for example, Shin Yatterman, the new Yatterman, that's already, I think it's 38 episodes, and Creamy Mommy is 52, and let's see here, what else have we announced? Well, there are plenty of shows we're doing which are over 100 episodes long, but it's really up to the fans. I said this before, right? We're going to do it per set, and if set one succeeds and set two succeeds and set three succeeds, but set four doesn't meet the goal, then that's the way it works. The DVDs have to, you have to have the support of the people who are actually purchasing the DVDs before they'll be created. And if that support drops off, then there's nothing we can really do about it.
But if you have enough people pledging at the $40 level that are just, okay, you have enough people willing to pay $40 for this box set, that would be a lot of people if you got to raise $20,000.
That's why there are even, there are fans who are willing to pay more than $40, right? And that's sure, the idea why we'll have those options for those fans, so that, when you think about it, the there are actually three primary levels. There's there's the core level, the Pulsar level, and the Nova level. Keeping the sort of sun theme of anime,
keeping
souls.
It as nerdy as possible. Yes, I understand.
Well, I think it's cool. And there's all, by the way, there's also special supernova level, but that's more expensive. Yeah. But let's say the Nova level at $250, where you're basically sponsoring the DVD set. We only need if 40 people pledge that's $10,000.
But find 40 fans of Creamy Mommy who have $1,000 to or whatever.
Well, it's only $250 when you think about it. That's Japanese price for a normal 13 episode box set.
Sure.
So if you're find 40 fans of a show that's willing to pay the same prices that people in Japan would be to pay for the show, then that's halfway to the goal right there. And then we only need another 200 or 300 or so at the other levels. The numbers are there to make it work. The question is, of course, does the show have the fans? And we'll find out pretty soon.
Yeah, it's ultimately it's completely democratized. It's like, yep, enough of you people vote for this and vote with your dollars, you'll have it. And if there aren't enough,
I think in
of
the
you,
last show you called it putupershutup.com.
moneywheremouth.com. Yeah, something like that.
I should actually. We should have a special make Zach eat his words package, and it's $60, and you get the box set and a signed letter from Zach
saying
says,
I was wrong,
Zach. You know? How about that? Give me 50 of those. We'll put it up there.
Sure, man. I'm in. I'm in on that one.
That'll be awesome.
But at the same time, looking at this from the outside, now you're obviously extremely close to this project. Looking at it from the outside, I could see here's a flaw, I think, in this whole thing. What you're looking at is kind of a manga kind of a thing here where, the first volume sold out. The first volume sold really well. Second volume dropped off. We still made it. Third volume, not enough to go. And as these shows go on, I would imagine you're going to see a lot of these shows get their first volume produced, and then it's going to stop there, or stop at volume 2, or stop at volume 3. But I would imagine a lot of people are going to be hesitant to pledge at all, because there's no guarantee they're going to get the entire show. So I think maybe that's a problem.
So you think because even they'll pledge for you? So you're saying they'll pledge for the first set? But they might think of pledging for the first set, but they are afraid that the first set will meet its goal, but the other sets won't.
Yeah. So is there an option where I just want to pledge right now for the entire show?
No, we can't do that because the entire show will take obviously quite a, for 52 episodes, it'll probably be a year before it'll all be out. But that's not exactly a slow pace, but we can't have people pledging for a goal that isn't even going to be over for an entire year.
Yeah, because then you'd have to refund a certain amount.
Right. But there's credit card charging issues that require the goals be within a certain time frame. So 3 months we can handle, but a year makes things very difficult because people's data changes, and pledging something that far ahead can be really difficult. Even for Kickstarter, that's a problem. So unfortunately, you can't do that. But basically, I would say this. If it doesn't work in Anime Souls, like you said earlier, it's never going to work at all.
Right.
So if you are a fan of the show and you have any inkling of wanting to collect this and wanting to help, then you have to pledge. because
yeah, it's basically it's either going to work this way or not at all. So if you want it, you go with try it.
Right. You know, and you know what? And I think because of the nature of these shows, you're not going to have the drop off that you do for your, you know, newer shows where volume one comes out and, you know, and set one comes out and then, you know, things like really long running shows like the One Pieces and the Narutos, for example, mm-hmm. You know, these are classic shows. They've been around for, you know, decades, and the people who want them. And I'm not sure there's going to be the crazy drop off. If anything, actually, I'm sort of hoping that there will be a bit of a rise because the people will help do their own advertising. You know, if you pledge for a show and you want that goal to be met, you know, the shows are there online for free. Anybody can watch them. So, you know, you need to get out there and tweet about them and, you know, tell your friends and say, hey, there's this really cool classic show. You should check it out. And, you know, if you find it interesting, you should pledge support for it. So we're really dependent on the fans, but not just on pledging their money, but actually putting their voices out there and helping to get other people to watch the shows and learn about these classic shows. And that's the only way it's going to succeed. And that's the way it'll succeed all the way through the ends of the sets. And there's another thing that I think you're discounting a bit. If we don't have success for an entire show, it's very unlikely that we'll be doing the next show. So take, for example, one of the classic shows we announced from Tatsunoko, Tekkaman, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there are a whole bunch of other classic Tatsunoko shows out there that I know people want. And Tekkaman is one of the ones people want, that's sure. But if we don't have those two box sets succeed, I can tell you right now that Tatsunoko isn't going to go out on a limb and put out something that's maybe a little bit lesser known than Tekkaman and try that if Tekkaman doesn't succeed. So, you know, it's all a growth based on success or disappear based on failure. So you have to keep that in mind before being hesitant about going out on a limb and pledging something.
Well, so that must be a tough choice to make then, because if you're saying like, okay, Tekkaman didn't do it, so we're not going to do this show that's like Tekkaman, or is it literally like if Tekkaman doesn't go, we're not going to do Tekkaman 2 or whatever?
Well, it's sort of basically we have a whole bunch of titles that that our partner companies would love to do on Anime Souls, but if something doesn't succeed, Japan doesn't try again. That's the way these companies operate, right? Mm-hmm. If this doesn't work, then, this doesn't work. We'll try something completely different, or we'll give up. Success breeds success, and failure breeds nothing in Japan. It's basically the way the business models work. And because we are a Japanese company and made up of Japanese companies, where the ultimate decision about what to put on the site lies with, you know, the actual parent companies, we have to show that this business model is a success before we can really get the ball rolling and do everything in their catalog. So, you know, we've got these shows now, which are great for launch titles, and this is the test run. I mean, this is the standard that we'll set. And after that, we'll see where it goes from there. And as for the total amount of money that we're raising, I think it's reasonable, and it doesn't, you know, I'll put it this way, it doesn't exactly provide a whole lot of profit or anything. We're really working at pretty much a zero-sum game. The profit will actually all come through the partner companies getting directly the money from the royalties as opposed to the LLP itself. So
yeah, the idea isn't to turn Anime Souls into this giant juggernaut. It's a conduit by which these companies make more money off these old shows.
Yep. And of course, it is, of course, possible that we might do shows from other companies outside of the partners of Anime Souls in the future. Especially, like I said, again, if this business model is proven as a success, I can tell you right now that, you know, other companies with classic titles will come to us and say, hey, will you put our show on your site and raise money for a DVD set? I mean, that will definitely happen if we can show success on the titles that we're doing now.
Okay, so maybe this is a little ahead of itself, but I don't know. I assume you've looked into this. So say, like, I plunk down my $40 for box set number one of Lick-A-Chan, and it miraculously has enough people that want Lick-A-Chan, and Lick-A-Chan box set volume one goes into production. What kind of thing shows up on my doorstep? What kind of packaging? What do I get?
Well, it depends. Well, if you're talking about the $40 level, the usual it might vary per show, but that's sort of the basic core level where you'll get a fairly standard DVD box set. In this case, we're gonna do 13 episodes per box set, so we'll have two dual layer DVDs in the DVD box set. Mm-hmm. With a nice slip cover or perhaps a cardboard chip case. We're currently debating which packaging style to go for at this point. We haven't decided yet, finally. But it'll be a little bit nicer than your just a standard Amray case. So that's basically what you'll get. And at the $40 level, you'll also get a special sticker.
Oh, a sticker.
Yeah, so everybody who actually pledges gets a special I pledged sticker, sort of like I voted sticker. Right. You can also get the sticker if you just want to pledge $5, you can also just get the sticker.
Oh, okay.
So, there's also a way you can just pledge like a little bit of money if you don't want to go out on the Blu-ray, but if you want to just pledge a little bit, you can. That's basically what you get, and it's your normal DVD box set with English subtitles, and will be of course encoding straight from the Japanese DVD masters that exist. I'll be doing it, so I'll make sure it's good quality. And of course, the subtitles will be produced by my subtitle team, and we're not going to be using those subtitles that might exist from the 1980s that were typed up on a typewriter on a piece of paper and stuck in a closet for 20 years. No, although we have some of them, and I look through them, and they're quite interesting. Everybody's named Joe for some reason. That's not a joke. I'm serious.
I'm sure you are. I don't doubt that for a second. So,
we're only going to be naming Joe the character who is actually named Joe in our show, so it's okay.
Right. So, sticker question: does the sticker say like "I pledged" and have like the Japanese logo for the show, so people can collect these like the world's like even dorkier Boy Scout badges?
No, the sticker is not that fancy. We're actually thinking of something similar. For the collect them all idea. We haven't finalized this yet, but we're actually working on these packages right now. But we're actually thinking about producing can badges. You know those little pins?
Yeah, right.
Right. So the stickers will really be the super cheap thing, and we'll just pass out for free. But the actual nice collectible things with characters on them, we're going to make can badges, and we might for some of the shows, I think we're going to have a package where you'll get like a random character badge with it. So if you pledge a lot for a bunch of different shows, you might be able to collect the whole set.
Oh, see, I would recommend maybe considering the Boy Scout badge angle, and you could get your Anime Souls sash. So you have a sash, and then you have all the shows you pledged that actually came out and got fully funded. You have your sash of pride.
As a former Boy Scout, I think that would be really awesome.
I think it would go, man. I think people would do just that.
I just imagine the meeting when I'm trying to explain this idea to the rest of the committee. No, there's this thing called the Boy Scouts, and you give them like lapel pins, and they'd all be like, "Isn't that like the military?" I'd have to explain, "No, it's not the military. It's about the pledge, the pledge." Anyway, See, actually, though, those kinds of ideas, those kinds of silly marketing ideas, those are really the kinds of things that we'd love to do more with the site.
Yeah.
As things ramp up, and we're gonna try and get out and do the marketing that we can with the budget we have. We're gonna try that sort of thing. And we'll keep tuned to the site when it opens, and we'll have lots of cool opportunities like that. So, it's really fun. There are actually some interesting, fun, special items for shows like Creamy Mommy or some of the Tezuka shows, which really you can only get from us. Like, we're going to have things signed by actual animators from the studios. Mm-hmm. Not the seiyus, not the voice actresses, but actual working Japanese animators from the studios, which maybe a little sketch. I mean, you can't get that even in Japan. You can't really get that kind of stuff. But because we're working directly with the studios, so, it's the kind of thing you can actually get access to. So it's hopefully those will be the kinds of things people will look at and go, this is neat. I can support the shows, and I can also get some cool stuff. So
awesome. Well, that's really cool. Have you run into any shows where there's just nothing? Where you just isn't anything special laying around for it? Because I would imagine, hey, here's a show from 1973 that we're going to throw up on the site. You want to pledge $1,000, you can smell the dust on this Laserdisc box. I mean, like, you know, there's no production materials left because they didn't save any of that shit back then.
Well, they didn't save any – the actual production materials, you know – to say that they didn't save the production materials, that's not true. There's always things that are saved. For example, the scripts are pretty much always their copies of the scripts which are left. I can attest to that fact, you know, quite honestly by saying because we were the ones who went through and scanned them all, you know, hundreds of episodes of scripts from 30 years ago. It was actually quite amorous. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe that's not the right word. In any case, it was really actually fascinating because they're all handwritten. Actually, you know,
oh, wow.
I'll put aside my script fetish another day. But there are materials. There are things. There are old toys. There are old, you know, pops and mugs and promotional materials that are sitting in boxes for pretty much everything that we're doing.
Wow.
Now, actually, there are some cases where some of the shows from like Tatsunoko, there are toys in existence, but they're not necessarily things that Tatsunoko has lying around that they can sell.
Right.
But that doesn't mean we can't get them.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that we can't produce things, actually, that are interesting. So just because they're not necessarily old things that are lying around, we might make some special posters or new new promotional material for some of these things if it doesn't exist. Actually, for Creamy Mommy, it was just the 30th anniversary.
Right.
So we have a whole bunch of products for that that are new and some of ones which are actually contemporary from when they came out in the earlier. So,
the term is vintage. No, yeah,
vintage. You'd be surprised what you can find if you look around. And actually, there are some other things that aren't necessarily tied to the shows, which we'll be offering. I don't want to give this away now because it's not finalized, but for example, there might be chances to meet or actually have dinner with certain Japanese guests from the animation industry, maybe at certain anime conventions. But they're already a guest, right? But if you pledge a certain level of anime souls, we might be able to give you a special, you know, dinner or ability to meet and greet them and that sort of thing through our connections. So there's actually things that might not be directly related to the show itself, but there'll be really cool perks that people might want.
That's neat. So basically, at some point, you're going to have an intern whose job it is to scour junk shops for old Yatterman Happy Meal toys from the 70s. Tatsunoko's yep. Like, look, we don't have any of that shit.
You'd be surprised what you find in the closets of anime companies.
I can't even imagine. Cannot even. So before we get to Twitter here, you have some announcements of some titles that are going to be appearing on the site, and I'm super curious and excited to hear about these.
Sure. Well, first off, let me briefly review the four titles we already announced right. Back in November.
Mm-hmm.
From Tatsunoko, we have Tekkamon, the Space Knight, which is, of course, maybe most famous on YouTube for Space Lance.
Right.
But it's really cool late 1970s sci-fi. And then the next show that we announced was Banner Book, one of the 90-minute films from the 24-hour TV specials, which Tezuka Productions produced, which includes all kinds of interesting characters from Tezuka's roles, like Blackjack, except in completely different roles, as Tezuka is usually doing.
Right.
And I'd like to sort of add on to that announcement. We are also going to be doing the other two movies from 1980 and 1981 from the same series, Full Moon and Marine Express, which are the next year and the year after that. So the first the full DVD set will include all three of those films from Tezuka Productions. And then we already announced Creamy Mommy from Piero, and that's going to be our big breakout title, I can tell you right now, despite your misgivings.
No, man, I never said anything bad. About
I'm pretty sure in the A&N cast 2 years ago, you and Justin went on a whole riff about how no one would ever buy Creamy Mommy. I will find that record. Anyway.
All right. We probably did.
And then the last thing we announced was from Yomiuri Television itself, the remake of the Yatterman anime television series from 2008. And so that brings me to my first announcement. From Tatsunoko Productions, we are also doing the original Yatterman from 1977. So
wow.
We are doing both the original and the remake, and they'll be streaming back-to-back on Thursday nights. Relive, must-see Thursday television. And actually, it's really interesting to compare the two, because there are some lines from the remake which are like, oh man, we sure got away with a ton of stuff back in the old days, yeah, and things like that. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to compare the different television standards from Japan from 1977 to 2008.
Yeah, that'll be
By the way, I should mention that none of the anime on Anime Souls will be censored in any way.
Of course not, right.
But
that would cost
money. It's all good programming, so bring your kids.
Right.
But parental advisor, right, is recommended. And the last announcement I'd love to make is from Tezuka Productions. We are going to be putting up Aoi Blink, Blue Blink, which is the last television series which Tezuka-sensei helped produce himself directly. And it's based off actually a movie which is based off a Russian fairy tale, which is a kids' series that aired on NHK about a young boy and a small blue pony named Blue Blank, actually an alien, who go in search of the young boy's missing father. And it's a great, fun adventure series, and hopefully that'll be, has everything that's good about Tezuka's classic animation in it, and hopefully people will take a liking to it, so check it out. And we have more titles, actually, they haven't announced yet, but we'll be announcing them over the next week or two, right before launch. And check out the press releases and the news on Anime News Network. And hey, it'll be great. Thanks.
Fantastic. Actually, before one quick question. So since this is sort of Kickstarter-y, how many shows at once would you say are streaming? Is it basically unlimited, or will you say like, okay, we're doing these eight this in the next couple months, in 3 months from now we'll have another eight? Like, what's the schedule like?
The schedule is we're going to try and keep to one new episode a day. So if you do the math on that, that's about seven or eight series concurrently is what we're working on. A little bit less than that, actually, six or seven. But we'll have about seven titles for launch. Mm-hmm. And we'll be adding titles as titles meet their goals and finish streaming. And we'd like to grow a little bit over the course of the year to maybe 10 titles simultaneously. But it depends on what the percentages are that actually succeed. Because we have have to make sure that the money we have for translation is enough that we're paying for it from the money we receive from the support. So, basically, every day you go on Anime Souls, there should be a new episode, and you can check it out every week. Oh, I should also mention that the website is fully HTML5 compatible, which means that you can watch on your iPhone or iPad or Android or any device that runs a web browser, modern web browser, and can play H.264 video. And you can watch the anime from Anime Souls basically on anything. And it's really neat. So
cool. Awesome. All right. Let's go ahead and get to Twitter. AbuNas3R asks, what do you personally want to see streaming? Okay, it's kind of a weird question. It doesn't necessarily pertain to you, but the original question is, what do you personally want to see streaming, but no, it's not financially responsible to do so? It's not really directly related to Anime Souls. So I'm going to sort of rephrase that and say, like, are there any shows you look at and say, this is not worth us even putting it up? Because you just know there's no fan base for this.
With the way Anime Souls works, I would say the answer to that is no, because the worst that could happen is we translate 13 episodes and pay for that and pay whatever bandwidth. If nobody watches the show, then we don't have exactly. It's not expensive to stream it. But of course that has a global effect. So we do too many of that, and the show, and the whole overall site sort of fails, under the weight of it. So although there's nothing that's about a particular show which would say I would never put it on the site, obviously we're going to try and put the titles we think will succeed on the site. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a ranking involved. For example, the original Yatterman series, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, we were also have the rights to do the original Time Bokan series, the show that came before Yatterman, for example. But we had a choice, which were we going to do first? They're both 100 episodes long. And of course we're going to choose Yatterman because it's the more well-known and the name recognition is better. And therefore, and if that succeeds, then yeah, well, then we can go on and do the other series that maybe are a little bit trickier, but we want to put our best foot forward, so.
Okay, I'm actually curious about your take on this. ABCB Tom asks, what do you guys think about Crunchyroll and Funimation having licensed the same show, Attack on Titan, and are directly competing with each other for streaming times. Is this a good trend when there are still unlicensed shows like Yamato 2199 out there?
The Attack on Titan situation is really fascinating, but it's going to be a growing trend. I can tell you from my personal experience at YTE, and also basically other licensing companies as well, there's a larger move when it comes to internet streaming towards non-exclusive deals. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a requirement that's actually going to be coming from the Japan side. Now, of course, Funimation wants the exclusive streaming, and Crunchyroll wants the exclusive streaming, and everybody wants to be the only one in the country where this is the only place you can watch a show. But the practicalities of internet streaming make that sort of stupid, because once someone streams it, everybody can watch. It's always ripped on every site, so everybody wants to stream the good shows like Attack on Titan. And sometimes the way the Japanese makes more money is by taking a little less money from each person but selling it to everybody at once, right? Mm-hmm. That's actually that's what happens within Japan. I think what's happened here is that streaming within Japan. So there are a whole bunch of streaming sites that stream anime within Japan. Everything from Nico Nico Doga to Videx to companies like Yahoo, and there's a whole bunch of different streaming anime sites. Docomo, the SoftBank, the various cell phone companies all have their own sites, and their licenses for anime streaming are almost always non-exclusive. You can watch your anime show on your cell phone, whichever company your cell phone it happens to be. Mm-hmm. Right, and that style of contract, that non-exclusive streaming contract, has worked out pretty well in Japan. Basically, the prices have sort of stabilized, and people make if you start up a new company that's for streaming, you can license good shows if you pay the right amount of money. And so, a lot of new streaming companies are popping up and licensing things like Conan, for example, from YTV. And it's non-exclusive, so they can buy those, even though some other streaming site already has streaming them. And that's sort of the direction things are going internationally as well. Beforehand, there was always only like a couple players in every country or every region for streaming, but there's been, especially in Asia, there's been a bunch more streaming startups that have happened, and it's just easier when you have non-exclusive deals, because you don't have to worry about one company complaining about some other company that's barging in on their territory. Especially in Asia, that becomes a really big deal, because it's really difficult to, companies don't just operate in one, in Malaysia. They operate in Taiwan. They operate around the whole South Asian hemisphere. In America, this hasn't really been the case, because America is pretty unified in terms of geographic and companies. But I think there's been some spillover from the way the deals are created on one side or the other. Basically, everything is sort of moving towards a non-exclusive framework. Now, that doesn't mean that everything is going to be streamed everywhere, because there's a finite amount of money. If Crunchyroll plunks down the money for a show, Funimation is going to have to think, sit down and think pretty hard whether they want to pay for a show that's also on Crunchyroll. Right?
Right.
It's going to be a lot less value to them in some ways, because it's not going to drive people to their site as much as if it was exclusive. So demanding non-exclusivity, it does not necessarily mean that everybody will stream every show. It just means that there's a possibility for it, especially for the biggest titles like Attack on Titan. So right. I would say, that'll happen in the future more and more.
Okay. Trickle TM asks, would your company reach out to an American anime company who has the streaming rights for shows but don't think it's feasible to do a physical release, so they try to do one through your crowdsourcing platform?
Well, I'm not sure I can think of an example for that, of a company in America that has streaming rights but isn't actually executing their DVD rights, except for maybe like, I guess maybe there's some shows that Viz has that they did that with, if I remember correctly, like Full Moon or Sagashite Toka, where they only did like the first half of the series, I think it was all but the last two volumes. We wouldn't be against that sort of thing. I can already see now, though, that it would be a really complicated contract, because it would be an American company who had licensed from some Japanese company using a Japanese company whose partners consist of Japanese animation companies to sell the show. And there would be conflicts of interest involved in that unless everything was done very carefully. It's sort of, if we were going to do that, why wouldn't we just go straight to the Japanese company and ask them? Why would we go through the U.S. company?
Yeah. Okay. Land of Obscusion asks, with Daisuke's debut coming, do you hope for coexistence, or will it be like Highlander, i.e., there can be only one?
Well, Daisuke, an interesting story, but I've known about Daisuke for almost a year and a half now, back before the name was even decided, and it was only known by its code name, which I shall not say. but I would say I'm not going to say anything specific about Daisuke in terms of my opinions, except for if you're interested really in, you know, what you think what Daisuke will end up being like, just go and read their press release in English, and I think you'll see what my opinion is. As for our coexistence, I mean, it's sort of a silly question. I've been asked this a lot, actually, just when we're marketing around Anime Souls. They're like, oh, wait, are you this Daisuke project? No, we're not. We're a completely different project. It happens a lot when you talk to people. It's really a completely different market and a completely different business model. And even it's not even a coexistence. I'm not sure there's even too much we can do to help each other, even if we wanted to. But we're perfectly happy to, you know, there are some actually there might be things where we could do to help. We're talking with some of the partners at Daisuke, like TMS, maybe there'll be some possibilities to embed Daisuke streams in our site and do crowdfunding on some of their shows. But it's something that, you know, we're really just in the preliminary stages of talking about. There's absolutely no animosity, though. There's nothing like that. It's just sort of two projects that happen to be sort of created over the same time period, and they both involve anime streaming, and that's pretty much the extent of the similarities.
Yeah, the goals of the two sites are completely different from what I can tell. Right. Anyway, I think that actually wraps us. It's a very exciting project. So you're in closed beta now. I don't imagine there's a way people can get invites to that. Are you planning on moving to an open beta?
Well, we're in closed beta now. We were originally planning to do an open beta, but honestly, there's sort of that an open beta where you can actually stream shows gets problematic because basically, right. You know, unless if we're streaming the show, then it better be for real. What I've been told. So we're going to stick to closed beta right now, which it does involve a good, you know, couple, 20, 30 people at least. It'll, you know, I would say stay tuned real quick. I don't want to say the actual date because it hasn't been finalized yet, but I wouldn't have scheduled, you know, I wouldn't be doing ANN Cast and a couple other podcasts and some lots of marketing coming up in front of I would say pay close attention to a panel that we're doing at Anime Central come up on the 17th.
Right.
Stay tuned for that panel, I would say, and listen up, and hopefully there'll be some good news right
there. Awesome. All right, Sam. Well, as always, it's great to have you on, and we always look forward to checking back in with you. Maybe we'll make it a less than a year until we have you on again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm missed you at this year's Tokyo Anime Fair, Zach, so you need to get back to Japan.
Maybe soon enough. I sure hope so.
All right. See you then. We'll go have drinks or something.
Indeed.
Talk to you later.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Sam for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a little rating or review. We'd really appreciate it. And we'll see you all next week.